Chapter 8. I'm beginning to think my sister and I are ready for the old folks' home, Miss Carolina said, bringing a tray laden with 4 cups and saucers, a teapot, and a small silver flask into the Jenkins' living room. I baked an apple pie this morning and set it on the cabinet to cool. After that, Georgia and I walked over to the church to see if Gladys Holcutt needed any help readying the church for Sunday. She's not getting any younger, you know, and running the sweeper over the carpet is a big job for one person. When we came back home, that pie had vanished. I took a drink of tea to hide my smile and shook my head when Miss Carolina waved the flask in my direction. She added a few drops of sherry to her herbal tea and to Miss Georgia's. A vanishing pie was a big mystery. Since it was impossible for something to disappear into thin air, maybe Miss Carolina had forgotten where she put it. These two ladies poured their lives into the Methodist Church in Levi, and I was sure their real reason for going to the church today was to be certain it had been cleaned to their satisfaction. The thought of the 3 elderly women, Miss Georgia, Miss Carolina, and Miss Gladys, spiffying up the Methodist sanctuary struck me as funny. I could imagine them rising from their deathbeds to clean that church, simply because nobody else would do it right. So far as I knew, these 3 women were among Levi's oldest citizens. Their memories of the town's early days were priceless. Somehow, I needed to find time to talk to them about some of those memories. They would be a wonderful addition to the book I was writing. Miss Kitty, the beautiful and very old white Persian cat that belonged to these maiden ladies, floated into the room. I say floated because she moved as softly as a shadow and with her long white fur reminded me of an unearthly spirit. Miss Kitty could not hear, and neither did she speak. She opened her mouth and looked as if she were meowing but never made a sound. I loved that cat. Gently, I lifted her to the sofa beside me. Miss Kitty, I said, playfully shaking my finger at her nose, did you eat a whole pie all by yourself? Miss Georgia sniffed and shook her head. By the way, did you rent your house here in town to your new preacher? Miss Carolina asked. Mom nodded. Yes, he's all moved in and ready for church services Sunday. It would have been nice if Miss Georgia and Miss Carolina attended church with us, but our home church had always been Baptist. Miss Georgia shook her head. I think we're getting off the track here. What my sister is trying to say, and taking a mighty long time to say it, is that when we came back home from visiting with Gladys at the church, that pie was gone, slick as a whistle, and we can't find it anywhere. Miss Carolina's eyes grew round, and she spoke in a loud whisper. In place of the pie was a dollar bill. Somebody had left a dollar on the cabinet. Mom shook her head. And I don't suppose you locked your doors as you left the house? Why, of course not, Miss Carolina said. We've never done that. Nobody dares come into the judge's house uninvited. Until now, I said, stroking Miss Kitty, who snuggled against my hand. The way these 2 women, who must have been nearing 90, talked about their father as if the grouchy old man still lived with them was irritating. I doubted that many people in Levi remembered the stern judge who meted out his idea of unbending justice, and they wouldn't fear his ghost if they did remember. You can't keep out spirits, Darcy, honey, Miss Georgia said, her forehead creased with worry. Of course, we're used to the occasional whiff of tobacco smoke or the sound of a door closing, but we figure that's just Papa. He sort of inhabits the house now and then, you know. But Papa would never steal a pie. This may be an actual ghost. I can't imagine what sort of ghost would steal a pie and then leave a dollar, Miss Carolina interrupted. I grinned. A hungry but honest one? Mom frowned at me. Miss Georgia continued. Last night when it was raining, I got out of bed because the lightning and thunder woke me. I glanced out the window and I saw something white flit through our herb bed in the rain. Now, Carolina, don't look at me like that. I know I saw it. Well, that sure wasn't the judge, I muttered. And it wouldn't have been Miss Kitty. She's never been out of the house.
Never,
Miss Georgia agreed. If Judge Jenkins still came around to check on his spinster daughters and make sure they were behaving, he wouldn't swipe an apple pie. Not the austere old stickler for the law I had heard about. And he wouldn't have been flitting through the yard dressed in white. If he were a ghost, he'd be more the slamming doors and stomping down hallways kind. Have there been other unexplained happenings besides the pie and the ghostly figure? Mom asked.
A couple of days ago, I put Delcy back into the garage and closed the door tight, like I always do. A few minutes later, I looked out and that door was open, swinging on its hinges, making the most awful squeaking sound.
Miss Georgia shuddered and added a few more drops from the flask to her cup.
You really should lock that garage, as well as your house, I said.
That old car of your father's is a valuable antique, and there are lots of people who'd like to own it or sell it. Neither sister drove. Stores were within walking distance for them, but every so often they would back their father's 1940 black Chevrolet out of the garage and wipe it down. My mouth watered just thinking about it. If I should be so lucky as to inherit it someday, I would probably be just as particular with Delcy as were the twins. Miss Carolina's eyes opened wide.
You were right, Darcy. Always so sensible. Maybe we should put a padlock on that door.
The roar of a small engine cut into our conversation. Looking out, I saw a man pushing a lawnmower around the house.
I thought Burke Hopkins was mowing your grass, I said.
That doesn't look like Burke.
Burke is kind of getting up in years, and we've had so much rain this summer. The grass has grown like everything. We need to have it cut often, and I thought all that mowing was too much for Burke. He's busy with his own yard and that dog and those chickens of his,
Miss Georgia said.
This man is Tim Johnson. He's new in town and said he needed to work.
Miss Carolina nodded.
He does a good job. Maybe you should talk to him about mowing your yard, Darcy. It's such a wilderness out there that it's really too hard for you to mow.
I'll try to catch him before we leave, I agreed. Now, let's go look the place over and see if we can find a sign of an intruder, I said. I don't believe in ghosts, Miss Georgia, but I'd prefer a spirit to a real live person who is lurking around. Moving slowly so as not to disturb Miss Kitty, I got up and set my cup on the tray. We looked all over the rambling old house, upstairs, downstairs, and in the attic.
Be careful of that loose handrail, Miss Georgia said as we went out the front door.
Going across the wide porch and down the steep front steps, we walked around the house, trying to peer in clouded basement windows until we got to the backyard.
I've never been in your basement, I said. Should we take a look in there?
Goodness no, Miss Carolina said. There's only one way in, and that's by the kitchen pantry. We locked that door years ago. Nobody could get down there from out in the yard unless they went through a window or the coal chute. Why, Georgia and I haven't been down there for an age.
We looked at the herb bed, but if there had been footprints, the rain had washed them away. Going into the garage, I made sure Delcy was all right, and I even climbed to the garage loft. Sticking my head into that small room, I took a look around. I see absolutely nothing alarming, I told the three women who watched me with anxious eyes. I have no idea what you saw, but maybe it was a one-time occurrence, some vagrant passing through who was hungry and honest. They sighed in unison.
Well, if you say so, Darcy, Miss Carolina said.
Mom turned back to the house. I think you've had enough excitement for one day. We'll let you know if anything unusual is happening anywhere else in town. Maybe there have been other break-ins. However, a pie is kind of an odd thing to steal, seems to me. Mom and I were both quiet as we climbed into my car and started back home. What could be happening at the Jenkins house? Surely they were not both getting senile at the same time. Shaking her head, Mom said,
You know, that's a mighty big old house for two defenseless and frail ladies to try and take care of.
I wish they would come and live with us, but I know they won't. I snapped my fingers. I forgot to talk to their lawn person. I'll ask Miss Georgia to tell him to call me. She's right. Our yard is kind of a challenge to mow. I dodged a small limb in the road. Maybe they just have a case of nerves. Miss Georgia probably imagined she saw somebody in the herb garden, and she may have thought she closed the garage door but didn't.
And what about the pie? Mom asked. Did it disappear by itself?
I shrugged. Sad to say, Miss Carolina could have put it someplace besides the cabinet top and forgot where she put it.
Did she forget she put the dollar bill in its place?
Somehow, Darcy, I don't think they are that forgetful. I'd like for it to be just their imagination, but I think there's more to it.
As it turned out, there was a whole lot more to it.